Wow, what an amazing song. Please take a seat. And it's an amazing song, not just because it's got a really cool tune. It's a great song because it's about exactly what Jesus is teaching us in this morning's passage. Now, I don't know about you, but as I was stood there singing away, a question popped into my head. How exactly do we make disciples? I mean, like, how exactly do we do it? For example, do we make disciples a bit like we might make pancakes? So put your hand up if anybody had pancakes this week. Yeah, I had pancakes. I had a lot of pancakes this week. Is the way that we make disciples a bit like we might make pancakes? A few eggs, a few milk, a bit of flour. What do people think? No? Okay. Maybe then, if it's not like making pancakes, is the way that we make disciples a bit like how we might build Lego? You know, brick by brick, building a disciple. Maybe we could put a few bricks together, maybe add a wheel. There we go. What do you think about my disciple? No? But I've got my toolbox. Maybe, would the toolbox help me? Okay, so if we're not sure about what Jesus means by going and making disciples, well, one of the things we've been learning about in our group up in year sixes and sevens group is that if we're not sure what Jesus means, we might need to have another look at the passage. So let's have a read with me from verse 19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Now that's helpful, isn't it? Baptizing people, telling Jesus all that he has commanded. Now, I can tell you, if I'm honest, I get the second one. I understand what Jesus means when he says, teach everybody everything that I commanded you. I get that. But this word baptizing, that's a bit of a strange word. Put your hand up if you've heard that word before. Anybody heard that word before? Now, anybody with their hand up, can you help me answer what baptizing means? Can anybody help me? Ethan, can you tell me what that word means? Sorry, could you say it a bit louder? Okay, so Ethan said baptizing is when you turn somebody from not being a Christian into a Christian. And I think he's on the right track, because baptism, I don't know if anybody's seen one, sometimes we have them here, is when somebody goes down into water and then comes up again. And Ethan's on the right track, because that baptism is a symbol of what happens inside somebody when they come to know the Lord Jesus. When somebody comes and hears about Jesus, who offers people to be saved from their sins, when somebody puts their trust in Jesus, something changes deep down inside of them. They put their faith in the Lord Jesus, and they now have a relationship with God. And baptism's a symbol of that. So when somebody goes down into the water, it's a little bit like their old self being buried, a little bit like Jesus was buried in a tomb. They're being buried, and they're being washed clean of their sins, clean of their rebellion against God. And then rising again to life, like Jesus was raised to life. Baptisms are amazing things. And it's so exciting that on the 26th of April, God willing, we are going to be baptizing some people in the baptism pool underneath our feet. So if you're somebody here who has put your trust in Jesus, you recognize that you have rejected God, and you have trusted in Jesus so you can have a relationship with him, and you haven't yet been baptized, we would love for you to come and chat to myself or one of the elders. You can see they've got their pictures up on the board there. Come and have a chat with us about whether that's something that you would like to do. And we would love to speak to you more about that. But it's always really important when we think about baptism to remember that baptism doesn't actually make someone a Christian. No, it's just a visible sign, an outward sign of what's happened in the depths of somebody's heart. And that gives us a clue as to how we make disciples. We don't make disciples like making pancakes. We don't make disciples like building Lego. We make disciples like telling people about Jesus. As we tell people about what Jesus has done in our lives, as we share that with others, and then if God willing they come to know the Lord Jesus, we make disciples as we continue to encourage them, teach them, push them on in their Christian lives. That is how we make disciples. But did you notice the second all in our passage? Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. And that's really important because you know what that means? That means that our disciple making doesn't just stop in Bristol. Sure, it might start in Bristol, but it's to go to all the world. Now, there might be some people here who think, hang on a minute, James. That's a bit much, isn't it? Like, telling my friends, telling my family at home, my neighbors, maybe people at school. Yeah, I could begin to get my head around that. But how can Jesus expect me to tell the whole world about him? When Jesus tells us to go and make disciples, he's telling everyone, everyone who trusts in him, to pass on the gospel message. And I think that's really helpful for us to hear as Christians here at Kensington Baptist Church. Whether it be being a Christian for one day, or whether we have been a Christian for 50 years, we're all called upon to pass the gospel on, to make new disciples, so that those disciples might make new disciples. And I don't know about you, but as I think about that, I wonder if that's really helpful for us as a church. Because on the basis of what Jesus is saying here, as a church, we could stop all of our programs, all of our ministries, and if we were still organically making disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, we would be no less a church than we are today. Jesus tells us to pass on the gospel so that we can reach the whole world for him. Now that game was fun. It took us about 4 or 5 minutes. And I wouldn't want us to end our time this morning by thinking that the gospel, passing the gospel on, making disciples, is always easy. And the reason I wouldn't want to give that impression is because Jesus doesn't give that impression either. Did you see that in the passage? Have a look down at the end of our passage and the third all that we spotted. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. I recognize that there could be many of us here this morning who know the cost of trying to share the gospel. I don't know, perhaps maybe for you, you're going to head home this afternoon and have some lunch. And as you're sat around the lunch table with your family sharing about Jesus and what you've learned this morning, you know that you're going to get some critical comments. I don't know, perhaps maybe for you, you're going to go into the office or your workplace tomorrow and you're going to try and share the good news of the Lord Jesus. And you know that that's going to involve some pretty difficult remarks and some gossiping behind your back. Maybe you're going to go into school this week and having thought about what Jesus has taught you, you're going to want to share him with your friends, and you know that you're probably going to get a really hard time. Well, if that's you, can I ask you to remember this? When you're around the family dinner table, the power of Christ is with you. When you're in the staff room, the power of Christ is with you. When you are in a heated RE debate at school, God is with you. Jesus says, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." The power of Christ is now in us by the power of his Holy Spirit. And nothing can ever take him away. I want to finish this morning by telling you a story. I want to finish this morning by telling you a story about a girl named Laura. Now, Laura loved netball. But even more than netball, what Laura loved more than anyone else in the world was Jesus. And so when Laura heard that Jesus commanded her to pass on the good news of the gospel, like we passed on those balls to other people so they could pass them on, well, Laura really wanted to share the gospel with her teammates in her netball team. Now, one afternoon, Laura walked into the changing room. And as she overheard her friends talking about what they were learning in RE class and laughing together, Laura wanted an opportunity to talk about Jesus. One of her friends turned round to her. "Laura," her friend said, "you're a Christian, aren't you? But science and evolution and gender, haven't they just shown that Christianity is just out of date?" Now, Laura was a bit taken aback. Frankly, she didn't know what to say. Laura didn't have all of the arguments. She wasn't in top set science. She heard people talk lots about gender, but she didn't know about any of the latest research. But she knew that she needed to share her faith with her friends. And so do you know what she said? Laura said this: "Girls, I don't know all that much about science. I don't know about all these arguments around gender. But what I do know is this: God made me, and I've rejected him. I live for myself. I don't live for him. And that means my relationship with him has been broken. And I don't know about all these scientific arguments, but what I do know is this: God sent his son to die for me so I could have a relationship with him. And he wants to have a relationship with you too." Church, we may not have all the answers. We might find it a bit scary. But Jesus tells us to go and make disciples. And his power is with us always, until the very end of the age.